Acts chapter 2, and let's start reading there in verse 41. Praise the Lord. Everybody ready? Okay, therefore, those who accepted and welcomed the message were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. They steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. And a sense of awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, and all who believed were united and together. They had everything in common, and they sold their possessions, both land and property and movable goods, and distributed the price among everyone, according as anyone had need. And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose, and in their homes they broke bread. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death. Praise God. Okay. How many of you have had a hard year? How many of you have had a hard year? How many of you have had struggles this last year or even 2 years? And you're looking for a way out below suicide, but you're looking for a way out. You're looking for a door to walk through where the momentum can shift. How many of you are in that place? And you're saying, you know, I really need the momentum to shift in my finances, or I need the momentum to shift in my marriage, or I need the momentum to shift, you know, in my health or relationships. Whatever it may be, what God is really great at is He's great at giving us, when times are bad in your life, when your circumstances are not going the way that you want them, what God is an expert at turning things around. He is an expert at fixing what you can, and I cannot fix. This is what's great about God, is He has the power to fix things. Remember what I said this morning, do not let your experiences become your Bible. Let the Bible change your experience. Don't change the Bible by your experience. Favor is the way that God takes revenge on our enemies. Who would like God to start taking revenge on your enemies? Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, God is going to visit you very, very soon. Tell that to somebody. Go ahead and say, you're not going to die, but God is going to visit you with favor. Favor brings the right people to us and keeps the wrong people from us. Favor opens the right doors and closes the wrong doors. Favor is the honey that covers our lives and draws people, circumstances, situations that are in the hand and will of God. You're never going to have everything perfect because you live in a world that is not perfect. But you can have favor in the midst of imperfection. And that's really what we want. Favor is a biblical reality of the Word of God. It is part of your inheritance as a Christian. It is something that you should be experiencing in your life. Your testimony should not be a testimony of disaster and calamity, heartache, and lack. Your testimony should bring glory to God, and there should be a testimony that in spite of living in the world, you have the favor of God. That in spite of being around lost people who have no integrity and may not love God, whether in the church or out of the church, you are in a different place by the miraculous favor of Almighty God. It is one very important thing to know that what brings glory to God is to be in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and still shine and still be able to say, look at what the Lord has done for us. Look at God, how He has delivered us from debt. Look at how God has healed our bodies. Look at how God has healed our marriages and our homes. Look at how God has taken the pain out of our soul and out of our spirit, and that our heart is glad and we rejoice and there is no bitterness in our soul. Praise God. Everybody should be able to have the joy of the Lord and the peace and the love of God flowing in and out of your life. Your life should be a picture of having been raised, protected, and nurtured by a loving God. There's nothing loving about disaster. There's nothing loving about pain. There's nothing loving about misery. Those are all traits of the devil, not of God. And so you and I want to make sure we are in the right position so that we can get blessed by God, so that we can live on earth and experience what God has promised. There is a momentum tonight in some of your lives that is negative. It is a bad momentum. It has been going on for a while, and it's time for it to stop. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's time for things to reverse. Would you say that to somebody? Say, I don't know about you, but things are about to change for me. Say these words, the wind is about to change. My sails are about to be full with the wind of the Holy Spirit. It won't blow against me. It will blow in my favor. Because I'm going to come under the favor of God. Praise the Lord. I don't know how anybody can make it in life without the favor of God. Notice the church here in the book of Acts. Notice the list of things that are going on all in there. Towards the end it says they were continually praising God. All the time, thank you, Lord, praise you, I bless you, I love you, I adore you. You're all continually praising God. Notice what was happening. They were in favor and goodwill with God and the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death. Praise the Lord. That is one of the things that God wants to do, and that is to bless the church where the church is growing, multiplying, and increasing, and where every area of the church is prospering by the hand and blessing of the Lord. Praise God. I don't know about you, I've had enough suffering for one life. I'm also smart enough to know that I may have more suffering just because I'm in this planet and because I have to relate to human beings. And so while that's all going on, I want to have something special in my life that is like armor that protects me from brokenheartedness and protects me from bleeding out and dying, and protects me from sorrows and grief and misery and all that, and that takes all that off me. Because I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God promises misery. What I do see is if the Lord is our shepherd, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Beware of doctrines that make you sick. Beware of doctrines that make you suffer. Beware of doctrines that make you miserable and steal the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and make His death, burial, and resurrection meaningless, powerless, and worthless to help change your world and your life. Our God is an awesome God. Our God has the power to change your marriage, to change your body, to change your circumstance. This is the great thing about God. He is not human. Praise the Lord. He does not have your qualities, my qualities. He is not frail. He is not fearful. He is not weak. He is not double-minded. He is not insecure. He is not self-conscious. He is not selfish. He is not greedy. He's not obsessive. He's not controlling and manipulating. He is not domineering and controlling. He is perfect. Praise the Lord. And the more time we spend with Him, the more of Him rubs off on us. And the more of heaven we begin to experience. Praise the Lord. So, I just want to share with you these things because it's really important. In the book of Acts, or in the book of Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 17 all the way down to verse 22, the children of Israel are in slavery, 430 years worth of slavery, and all of a sudden God, and I've said this before, but I just want to reiterate because it fits into this, God says He gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they plundered the Egyptians. And literally when they left Egypt, as I have studied it, when they left Egypt, they left with around $60 billion worth of gold and silver and jewels and all of that. So they pretty much got back all the money for 430 years of slavery that they had not been paid, and their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, nobody had been paid. And in one day, because of favor, which is the fog of God, the favor of God. You want to get under the fog of heaven. You want the fog of God to follow you around. You want to be able to declare, listen, I am under the fog of heaven. I am covered in the favor of God. God's favor is in my business. God's favor is in my church. God's favor is in my marriage. That's a powerful thing to have, ladies and gentlemen, where God does something to your husband that He actually loves you no matter what you're like. Or He does something to your wife and she just likes you. The favor of God, that is an amazing thing to have, where she's not having to do it by faith. It just flows out like a river. It's called the favor of God. Understand what I'm saying. Not all of us that are in this room are under the favor of God. You may be saved, but you're not necessarily under God's favor. Being under God's favor is a particular position. I want to help you find that position. It's not automatic. A lot of Christians think, well, I'm saved now, so all these automatic blessings are going to come to me. But if you've walked with God long enough, you realize that's not the case. You can actually have the title of a Christian and the lifestyle of a miserable lost person. So it's not just in saying, I'm saved. Is this all there is to it? If you're not the most happy person in the world, you don't have it all yet. There's more for you to enter into. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. And I think that's pretty cool. Let's look at some scriptures about this. The actual word for favor. Because in Luke 2, 52 and 3, it says, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. In other words, when Jesus met people, they liked Him. The general public, the undemonized people. We're not talking about, because religion, you understand, paralyzes the Holy Spirit. Dead religion paralyzes the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this to the Pharisees in Matthew 15. He said, your dead religions have made God's word of no effect. So a religious mindset can actually paralyze the miracle working power of God in your life. Praise the Lord. My son was preaching last week in Atlanta. He was doing a concert, many, many people and all that. But long story short, he had a person there with him on the stage and never seen miracles or anything. Had quite a few people get instantly healed. But it was too much for the person to handle because they had never seen it and were raised to believe that none of that happens. Yet it happened right in front of him. And that person could not handle it. They said, I cannot handle it. My entire belief system crushed in one day. God doesn't do these things. But there are people there whose backs were totally healed, eyesight was healed, hearing was healed, back problem, I mean, everything. There's no denying it. But see what happens sometimes? We're so entrenched in unbelief. Just like Jesus when He goes to His hometown and He can't do a miracle because of the unbelief. That's powerful unbelief, ladies and gentlemen. That's so powerful that it actually stopped the flow of God's power through God Himself. Praise the Lord. Beware of what you have accepted as a belief. Anything that leads you away from God originates with Satan. Any truth, any belief that takes you away from God originates with Satan. Praise the Lord. He is the liar and the deceiver. But we have the Word of God. Amen? Here's the words for favor. It means this: to give approving consideration. How many of you need some consideration about your circumstance right now from heaven? It means to bend or stoop in an action of kindness to an inferior. Who needs God just to bend down and show you some kindness right now? Give someone a high five and say, if God can make your hair grow, I'll believe anything. Praise the Lord. It means to be pleased with someone. It means to look at someone with great approval. And it means unconditional blessings flowing. That's a powerful word. Psalm 41:11. Because you favor me, my enemies will not triumph over me. Tell that to somebody. Say, my enemies are not going to win because I'm going to be in the favor of God. Proverbs 19:12. Your favor will come down like dew on the morning grass. Proverbs 16:15. Your favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. How many of you want that cloud following you around? How many of you want the cloud of favor following you around instead of the cloud of calamity, disaster, bad news, lack, brokenness, misery, contention, strife, hatred, and all the other stuff that's full, that life is full of? Praise God. Look at somebody and say, you need favor to cover you like a garment. Psalm 5:12, I will surround you with favor as with a shield. Who wants that? Job 10:12, your favor is for a lifetime, and your visitation preserves my spirit. Favor is for a what? For a what? Whoa. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me how many days? Whoa. How many days? All the days of my life. Come on, shake somebody's hand and say, surely you can pay me what you owe me. Since you're going to be really blessed after this service, you can spare the money you owe me. Then Deuteronomy 33:23, talking about Moses. Moses was full of favor and the blessings of the Lord. Praise God. I think those are all really powerful. Let's look at these things about favor, because some of you today are in a position where you are facing some negative circumstances. Maybe you have a child that is not serving God, and you're saying, you know, what do I do? Well, really what you need is favor. Favor can turn around anybody. Remember what what God did to the Egyptians. Now, understand, the Egyptians have held the Israelites in slavery for 430 years. They are not human beings to the Egyptians. They are cattle. So the worst possible view of a human being that a person could have was what the Egyptians had towards the Israelites. They treated them like animals. And in one day, God gave them favor. It means God changed the point of view of the Egyptians concerning the Israelites, and they went from hating them to loving them in 24 hours. What if you wake up and your children that don't like you love you? Your boss who hates you now gives you a raise. Your business, which has not been succeeding, now begins to succeed. Is there something wrong with preaching hope to people? Huh? Is there something wrong with preaching that God is good and that God can do great things and that God wants to do great things for us? Praise the Lord. Do you believe that? All right. So all of that is true. Let's look quickly then at what changes when favor comes into your life. Number one, people's opinions will change of you. How many of you have someone who just doesn't like you? Doesn't the Bible say in Proverbs that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him? You can have people favor. People favor. If a person is strategically important to your destiny, God will change that person's heart towards you if you have favor. If that person is dangerous, he will remove them from you. Praise God. Because not every person that comes into your life comes from God. Some people the devil sends. And the way you know a person the devil sends is one word, danger. If they are dangerous, then you know the devil sent them. And you have a biblical right and obligation to disconnect yourself from that dangerous person and love them long distance with no intimate relationship. Praise the Lord. Give someone a high five and say, snap out of it. We are also, ladies and gentlemen, not called to practice divorce on one another. Notice how quickly people stop being friends. Notice the reasons that people stop being friends. Do you know that there are, in my 40 years, I have probably counseled with thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of pastors through the years, and friends and individuals and people all combined, thousands of them through the years, that have asked me the same question. Why do they treat us like that when all we've ever done is love them and bless them? And now they're lying about us. They just leave. They just disappear. They don't say anything. They don't talk to us. They just leave. After 15 or 20 years, no explanation. Or have you ever had a child come home and your child complains that they're being mistreated by somebody at school? And then what you say is, look, I want you to avoid this person. I don't want you to ever talk to this person. I want you to leave this person alone. Stay away from this person. And you teach them divorce right on the spot. So parents are training their children to divorce people when they're at a young age, rather than what Christians do, which is okay. What do we do if people mistreat us? We pray for them. Let's get on our knees and pray for them. We bless them. And then let's take them a gift. But you don't train your child to divorce people at that young of an age. And then they're just all their life, they just practice it. Oh, she looked at me wrong. Never talked to her again. Oh, you see how snooty they were? That's it. Oh my, no one said hi to me at church. We ain't never going there again. Just that spirit of divorce operating. 52% of Christians get divorced now. Why? They have a spirit of divorce on them. No favor. We need favor. We need favor with each other. We need favor in our homes and families. Praise the Lord. We need favor, ladies and gentlemen. Do you agree? We need the favor of God in every area of our life. Would you give somebody a high five and say, I'm going to get the favor of God. Favor, then, brings money to you. Turn to someone and say, favor brings money to me. Can I ask you a question? How many of you believe you can get money without giving it? Huh? How many of you believe that you can get money without giving it? I'll guarantee you that if you're not a giver, you're not going to get anything. You'll be broke all your life. Because God creates people like him. And who is the greatest giver in the universe? Who gives every day? Who blesses you every day? Who is a nonstop giver? Who is the only person that is giving 24 hours around the clock every day? He's giving to somebody something. Plus, he already gave us Jesus. Amen? How many things has God already given you? Huh? Did you get your family on your own? Huh? That person you're sitting next to that loves Jesus and you're connected to, married to, or are related to, did you get that? Did you make that happen? Or did God touch that person in their heart and say, I love Jesus? I do too. Oh, we both love Jesus. Oh my gosh, we're going to have a chance at life. God did that. God has to touch your children so they love God. God has to touch your children so they love you. Praise the Lord. God has to touch you so you love Pastor Steve and his wife and their children. That's favor. He needs to have favor in your eyes. The church has to have favor in the eyes of the city. Praise the Lord. It's a favor of God. Opinions change when favor begins to operate in your life. And money begins to flow. Raise your right hand if you need money. Praise God, because if you don't raise it, you ain't getting any. Raise your right hand. Okay, there you go. So the whole church, praise the Lord. And if you don't need money, thank you. Would you give me the money then? I got a lot of godly things I can do with your money. I got orphans to feed. I got orphanages to build. I got schools to build and clinics to build and widows' houses to build. Give me your money! Do you see what I'm saying? The church is here. Pastor Steve's got this church. He wants to have a mighty move of God in a great church. It takes money. That means God has to put favor on the church so that you love to give to the church. And you'll say, my God, Pastor Steve, is there any needs? I'd like to give an extra $1,000 this month. I got a blessing. I'd like to give an extra $500 this month. I'd like to bless some widow in the church. I'd like to, who doesn't have groceries? Let me pay for that. You understand that's all favor. Because one thing you cannot get a person to do is give money. It's the God of this world. And until Jesus is in charge, that's the way it stays. Praise the Lord. The level of your generosity reveals the level of your surrender. It's always been that way, and it will always be that way. Greedy people are not close to God. You cannot be greedy and close to God. You cannot be stingy and close to God. You're not close to God. You can't. You can never. It's the exact opposite of everything that God is. God gives money, God gives his time, God gives his life, God gives you dignity, God gives you respect. Even when you don't deserve it, God gives it anyway. Isn't that exciting? I mean, how much dignity has God given you? How much respect has he given you when you didn't deserve it? He gave you his name. My Lord. I mean, would you claim some of the children that God claims? Hug two folks and say, is your hair falling out? My gosh. Okay. So this is number three. Favor destroys rejection. When you start having favor, it becomes difficult for people that are strategic to your destiny to reject you. Other people will reject you. We're all going to be rejected all the time. The world will reject us. You can't control everybody and all that kind of stuff. But strategic people for your destiny, God has to give them love and favor towards you so that you can do what God has called you to. It's really, really important. If you're in a critical position, and I've been in hundreds of them, where I needed favor from a particular police person or a particular judge or a particular person in a foreign country or any of those types of situations, and I had to have it, and I got it because of the favor of God. They just decided to just give us everything, just open the doors for everything. They were shutting the doors for everybody else, and they just opened the doors for it, because that is the way it's supposed to work, the favor of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Favor makes you wealthy in God and makes the devil poor in your life. Hug someone and say, I love Brother Ivan's preaching. Favor promotes your family, creates miracles, gives you supernatural success, heals broken relationships, adds supernatural friends to you. How many of you need those kind? Praise the Lord. And overrides all lack and famine in your life. Do you need that? Lift your hands like this, and let me prophesy these words to you. I prophesy that you will have financial favor. I prophesy you will have marital favor. I declare you will have job favor in the name of Jesus. I declare that spiritually you will be favored. I declare that City View Church will have the favor of God resting on it, covered in the fog of heaven. I declare you will have citywide favor. circumstantial favor and favor in your physical body. I say that, I declare that, I prophesy that, and I say that's the way it's going to be. I now prophesy that all your children will accomplish 100 times more than what you have accomplished in your life. That your children will be more successful than you have ever dreamed of being. That they will do so many great things that you've never even approached. Not double, but 100 times more. I declare it. I prophesy it. I say that is going to be the will of God. May it happen. Let us not submit to the laws of nature and the laws of this world, but let us override those laws and bring glory to the name of God by submitting to the word of God and daring to believe that God can be a supernatural God that does things that we in our natural power cannot achieve. Anybody can do stuff with their own brain. We want to live a life that we can't take any credit for. Do you hear my words? We want to live a life that God only could get the credit because it is beyond the reach of man to do and achieve those things. Let us rise up and do things that are not natural and normal. Let us go to places in the spirit that no other church has ever gone to here in York, Pennsylvania. And in your church if you're visiting. Praise God. Let us shake off the shackles of doubt and unbelief. And let us reject our experience. And declare to God, we believe there's a higher way we have not entered into yet. And we can experience a better life. Praise the Lord. Does anybody want the favor of God? Who is hungry for the favor of God? Who is hungry for the favor of God? Praise the Lord. I think that's really important and powerful. Now, as I'm coming to the end of the message, I'm going to give you the character traits that position you for favor if you want it. Praise the Lord. A friend of mine that I helped when he was in tremendous debt, and I told him what to do. I said, you need to sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and then you need to start your own business. And I've done this to quite a few people. I don't know what the number is. I would say easily over 50, and I don't know of any that have failed. And I just said to him, do it. He did it. He started his business. Long story short, in the last 3 to 4 years, he's never cleared less than $3 million. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And I could tell you that story over and over and over and over and over again because of the favor of God. Favor will put you in places you can't get yourself to. Does anybody want to get somewhere you can't get to? Huh? Do you just want to live a life you can take credit for and say, you know, I'm so awesome. My voice got me there. I'm so awesome. You know, my intelligence got me there. It's an insult to even say you're intelligent compared to God. Right. Arrogance is when a man declares that he is smarter than God is. That's intellectual arrogance and total stupidity. Amen. A smart man knows how big God is. Right. And how little he is without God. Amen. And how big he is with God. That's intelligence. Smart people serve God. Dumb folks just torture themselves. Peace is the will of God. You'll get that tomorrow. Give somebody a high five and say, is that a toupee? Man, it's awesome. I've never seen the weaving all perfect like that. Amen? So, here are some of the important things. In Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, Abraham had favor with God. Do you remember that Abraham had favor with God and God gave him a supernatural miracle by giving him Isaac when he was 100 years old? Because as you know, at 100 years old, you can no longer bear children. All the processes are dead. And so Abraham had favor from God and a miracle happened. But what it says about Abraham that put him in favor with God is he believed God. If you want favor, you need to believe the word of God. You need to deny everything that doubts God and His power. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need to believe God. You need to declare that maybe the life you've lived has not been a life of faith, but it's been a life of just affection for God, but intellectually limited by your own doubts. And that maybe God wants to move you to a place where you can begin to experience the kind of miracles Abraham had. Praise the Lord. Look at two folks and say, amen, that's what I'm talking about. Praise God. I'm believing God for the craziest things right now. Just crazy things. Because I don't want to take credit for anything. I said, God, if I just get that and just believe you for that, and none of it is for me, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm past that point. I'm not at that point. I'm not at the point where I want things. I'm at the point where I want things for orphans. I want things for lost people. I want to get people saved. I want to get widows taken care of. I want to do those kind of things. That's what I'm believing God for. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have realized that this life here is a temporary existence. This is not what it's... Life here is not what we're supposed to be consumed with. We're supposed to be consumed with doing the will of God here. Not building crazy things for ourselves. Praise God. If each one of you just had one orphan you took care of, if each one of you could look Pastor Steve in the face and say, Pastor Steve, you know and I know that because I'm alive, this church is healthy. Not just you, but at least you could share in that. Say, this church is doing good because I'm doing my part. That would be honorable. Do you know why? Because this is the bride of Christ, and God loves the church first. The church is first. It's before orphans. It's before widows. It's before everything. The church is the center of the universe when it comes to God. You hurt the church, you will hurt yourself. That's why we cannot treat the church like a prostitute or a mistress. We can't just visit her once a week. And if we like what she does, we pay her. And if we don't like what she does, we just don't talk to her anymore. She's not a prostitute. This is the bride of Christ. This is a sacred thing. It's sacred. You are the bride of Christ. You are sacred. And you should be treated with sacredness and respect. Disrespect is how we tell people they don't mean anything to us. Disrespect is how we tell God, disrespecting His church by not tithing, by not helping, by not doing what we're supposed to, it's how we tell God that the bride means nothing to us whatsoever. If you don't tithe, you are tying and robbing God from His ability to bless you. Because God deserves the right to bless you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, God is like a mafia don. He'll come to you and He says, I need you to give me 10% and I'll give you protection. The difference between God and a mafia don is that when God says, give me 10%, He says, now you give me the 10%, I'll protect you, but I'll also give you 100% return. That's different. Do you understand what I'm saying? God never takes from anybody. The 10% you tithe, you're not, it's... Here's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. 10% of your income, the day you become a Christian, 10% of your income is already designated for destruction or for blessing. If you don't tithe, the 10% comes out of your money anyway to doctors, plumbers, mechanics, electricians, medicine, and everything else. It's coming out. But it ain't just going to stop at 10%. Because you have no protection. Silence of the lambs, all of a sudden. Now, let's stop there before you get mad at me. And remember, I'm not trying to steal your candy. I'm just trying to get the right candy to you. Praise the Lord. There's devil candy and God candy. Obedience brings the candy of God. Disobedience brings the candy of the devil. Praise the Lord. All right, now some of you don't like what I said because you're not doing it, and so you're under conviction. But let me fix it for you real quick. There's beautiful truth and ugly truth. Beautiful truth makes you feel good. Ugly truth makes you live good. When you put both truths together, you get the whole truth, and only the whole truth sets you free. So don't hate the truth just because it's ugly. Praise the Lord. Don't hate the truth and say, I just want beautiful truth. I just want to feel good. No. That's okay. You need that. But you don't just need that. Beautiful truth is God loves you no matter what you do. That's beautiful truth. I know no matter what I do, God loves me. Praise the Lord. That's beautiful truth. It makes me feel great. I don't have to perform to be loved. I also need to know that I will reap what I sow. That's ugly truth. It's just as true. One is beautiful, one is ugly. But unless you embrace both of them, you'll never be whole. Yeah, you say, well, God won't send me to hell if I smoke a reefer. I never said he did. I didn't say God would send you to hell if you smoke a reefer. So yeah, reefers make you feel good. Yeah, reefers make me feel good. Praise the Lord. I didn't say that. But if you smoke enough reefers, especially while you're driving, you could die. And I know that some of you feel reefers give you a better perspective on sermons and things. And you like to, you know, smoke while you're listening to a Pastor Steve preach and in the car and everything. Man, Pastor Steve, I ain't never got so much revelation in my life. You did great. Got that CD from Sunday. I saw seven angels, several demons. All right. Well, hug someone and say, ooh, believing God. Samuel, the Bible says, ministered to the Lord and had favor with God. Do you know what ministering to the Lord is? Think about that thought for a second. How many of you have ever ministered to someone? How many of you husbands or wives have ever given your wife or husband a massage? Let me see your hands. That's called ministering. When I need a massage or anything like that, I have a whole line of people. First my wife, then my daughters. And lastly and ultimately, my son. All of them know that if I'm around, I could say, I need ministry. My neck is hurting or my shoulder's hurting. Praise the Lord. And you minister to them. You're not taking, you're giving. Ministering to God, what ministers to God is obeying God. When you obey Him, you minister to Him. When you worship God by living right when no one is watching, that ministers to God. What ministers to God is forgiving people when they're never going to change. What ministers to God is loving people who don't deserve to be loved. That ministers to God. It's not normal. It's ministry to God. You tithe when you don't even have the money to do it, but you do it in obedience. That ministers to God. And this brings favor into your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Is it making sense to you? Are you here? Amen. Am I making sense? Is it clear to you? Ministering to the Lord. It's not just, I love you, Lord, I praise you. That's ministry as well. But it goes further than that. True worship is not singing, ladies and gentlemen. Singing is the icing on the cake of worship. True worship is obeying when you don't want to. That's true worship. It's living the life you don't want to live because you love someone so deeply that you're willing to die daily, all day long to please them. Amen. The selfish life is not the worship life. Praise the Lord. Minister to the Lord, and what are you going to find? That means if you see your neighbor's yard growing, say, just go over there and cut it. Now, I happen to have really disciplined neighbors, so I don't have to do that. But I have lived next to people, and I go cut their yard. or do something. They'd say, what happened? I said, oh, I just had the extra time. I just cut the yard. I've gotten people saved just by doing that. Just got to say, I've gone over to my neighbors before and said, I noticed this car hasn't been moving in a while. Is everything okay? Oh, we don't have the money to fix it. What's wrong with it? Well, we need a new transmission. How much is it? Oh, I don't know. They said it was like $1,800. I said, I'll pay for it. What? I said, no, I'll pay for it. I'm a Christian. Jesus loves you, and I want to pay for it. God wants to show you that he loves you by me giving you $2,000 for the thing. Are you going to resist it and be stupid, or are you going to take $2,000? And they've never said no to me, especially when I talk to them like that. They go, no, I'll take it. I'll take it. And they get saved. I taught it to my children. They get their neighbors all saved. My daughter has 18 or 19 ladies from her neighborhood in her Bible study. And all of them unsaved to start with. God wants you to have favor. So, hallelujah. Yes. Amen? Hug two people and say, I'm glad I came. I need ministry. The Bible says that Moses had favor because he was meek. That word means humble. The word meek means to be able to serve ungrateful people without feeling used and abused. That's what meekness means. It means that you actually consider it a privilege to wash an ungrateful, arrogant person's feet. That's meekness. It's the lack of vanity and ego. That brings you favor with God. Do you know how you know you're meek? You don't get offended. Proud people get offended, and they get offended quickly. You just got to touch the right button. And they're done. And they'll never talk to you again. Big egos. That's how God measures how far you are from him. Big heart. That's how God measures how close you are to him. Are we okay? I'm not going to be shot or anything? Nobody's packing? Praise the Lord. I see some of you are packing by the way you're looking at me. In Texas, everybody packs, so I always ask the question. Hello, brothers. I'm packing too. Praise the Lord. Just be on even ground, you know. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm almost done. Daniel chapter 1. This is really important. Daniel said that he refused to defile himself with the king's food. Daniel 1:9. When you refuse to defile yourself, it's going to bring favor to you. Anytime you overcome a temptation, you automatically release a promotion. How many have been tempted this last year in any way? Huh? Praise the Lord. And how many of you are honest people? Anyone at all? One? It's a pretty weak thing, so at least you're honest about not being honest. That's pretty good. No, how many of you would consider yourself an honest person? Okay. So, how many of you cussed in the last month? Okay, so just about the whole church. And then, how many of you cussed in your mind in the last month? See, that covers everybody else. So praise the Lord. You got people that are half holy. See? Praise the Lord. And then Joseph, Genesis 40, verse 14. And this is my final point, Genesis 40, verse 14. Notice Joseph. Joseph has favor with God, because every time he's mistreated, he reacts righteously. How many of you have ever been mistreated and got so mad and offended you could not see straight? Let me see. And you made a pain-inspired decision that perhaps led you out of your destiny, because it may have disconnected you from the right person who was going to help you. But because you never dealt with that thing inside you, because you see, the purpose of ugly and difficult people is to introduce us to ourselves. They're not sent there by the devil. Dangerous people are of the devil. But just flawed people, they're not of the devil. They're there to help you meet yourself and avoid future judgment. Notice Samson. If Samson had just looked into Delilah's eyes and said, "You little manipulating witch, if I keep having a relationship with you, my judgment is going to catch up with me." A man is in his office working with his secretary. His secretary is very good looking. He has a lot of lust and a lot of sexual desire towards her. And instead of saying, "Look, I'm sorry, I can't work with you," because he sees that she's bringing out something in him that's going to judge him later if he doesn't deal with it. It's going to wreck his family, destroy his children, and ruin his life. So he says, "I have to move you to another department, or I have to hire someone I'm not attracted to, because I have this thing in there and I have to go to God with it." Or else he goes to God and he says, "God, take this lustful, ugly thing out of me." And then he gets delivered and he's free, because he sees what's in the future, because that person brought it out, because he had enough wisdom to be able to understand the purpose of people in our lives. I didn't get this from books. These are just my personal experiences. 40 years of being around folks like you. Praise the Lord. I'm just kidding. Oh, did you get offended? Did you get offended? Faithful. That's the word. Faithful. Joseph was faithful. Will you be able to stand before God on Judgment Day and he says, "How did you treat my bride? How did you treat my shepherds, my pastors? How did you treat them? I raised them up. I raised their families up. I poured my life into them so they could help people. I trained them. How did you treat them? Were you one of the unwilling satanic prophets that Satan uses in church to attack, criticize, undermine, and hurt the church? Or are you a person that says, I'm going to be faithful to be a blessing to every person I meet? All humans deserve dignity and respect, and it's our job to give it to them. From the prostitute to the president, they deserve dignity and respect. We are not politicians. We are not party members first. We are ambassadors of heaven. And that is the supreme loyalty that we give. Praise the Lord. And all other loyalties are based on what is true in the eyes of God. And we support all things that are true in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Hug two people and say, my, my,